Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. Lordy, lordy, Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy is 40. I can hardly believe it. It seems like just last year we started this show, Jeff.
We've come so far. Yeah. Are we better than we were a year ago, do you think?
I don't know. We should go back and listen to some old episodes and actually compare our performance.
Let's do it back to back.
And rate it. Maybe put out a poll there on our website.
I think it would just be you and me voting.
Probably. It'll be like 50-50, like 50. Yeah. Which one of them said that the show sucked? Hey, everyone. This is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
You're listening to Radio Show Online. Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. You can get to us at radioshowonline.com. You can also fan us at facebook.com/radioshowonline. And as always, send your emails to hatemail@radioshowonline.com. Yes, that is really the email address. It's Monday, August 8th, 7:31, if you're listening in the Eastern time zone. And we are coming to you live from the sweltering Tremont attic because Jeff does not believe in air conditioning. I don't know.
I believe in it, but I don't believe in getting 2 units. To get air conditioning to my third floor would have a lot of capital investment,
yeah.
Which the show has not been really giving us that much of a return yet.
Right. Well, we want to be commercial free intentionally.
Right.
We've gotten tons of offers. People keep saying, please let us give you money if you plug our products. But we're afraid that that would, you know, dilute this the independent nature.
Well, it's all about compromising our integrity, which we have yet. If we refuse to do that, we might. But we have, so far today, we have not compromised our integrity.
We can't be bought.
We can't.
At least.
Most likely be bought.
At least at the rates that we've been presented with.
The so offers have just been miserable.
Yes. Anyway, we have an exciting show. Michael Dale Oya from Emerging Chefs is actually going to be live in the studio at 7:45. So just in about 13 minutes, he's going to be here talking about everything that's going on at EmergingChefs.com. He's also an author and an actual radio host, Jeff.
Wow.
And co-founder of Social Media Studio. He's got a very long resume. I'm very surprised that he showed up today.
Our resumes really don't compare to that very well, do they?
Yeah. So if you want to hear some real radio talent, stay tuned for another.
Is our resume fledgling podcast? Fledgling?
Yeah. Mine's really short. You can pretty much put it on a business card. my resume, yeah. Fledgling radio podcast host. And then just that's it. Well, hey, Jeff, do you have any 401ks, money invested?
I do.
Today would not be the day
to
look at how that's performing.
Well, this is like, the good thing is now that I've been through this, I went through this in 08, you know, only three years ago. And that was really, really hard watching the numbers every day. So now I got to say I'm a little more prepared. That was really shocking for me. And now this is horrible. But I don't think it'll be as bad as 08, hopefully. So hopefully that was the worst you'll ever get. But you just have to keep going forward. Hope that it's going to get better, and I'm just not a big fan of selling off when it's going down like that.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of that. So I waited it out in 08 and ended up working out. I'm going to wait it out again. I just don't think you have to rush to sell when everyone else does.
The Dow was down 5.6% today.
Yeah, that's a huge single day loss. The biggest since 2008, single day loss since December of 08.
But a lot of companies out there now really cheap. So if you have some cash,
yeah, it is.
Put it in and then hopefully
just like
you'll
08. If you look at some of the stocks where they were in 08 compared to just 2 months ago, oh, I mean sometimes you could double, triple.
Yeah.
And these are stocks that have a track record of being around, not internet startups. These are 40-year
not radio show online.com.
Not radio show podcasts.
Bad investment. Horrible.
Bad investment. But these are companies that are just going to be undervalued because of the whole sell-off that it's a buyer's market. Kind of like the housing market we're in now.
Yes.
It's a buyer's market. If you have cash, cash is king. So that's my philosophy, Jeremy. I'm going to look at the bright side of it.
I hope the stock market, though, turns around a little quicker than the housing market.
Let's hope. Well, it did in 08. It did in 08. That was about a six-month deal, whereas the housing market's been about a 3 or 4 year deal. So, yeah.
Right.
So let's see. That's our financial analysis.
That's the most financial advice we've ever given on this show.
It's basically, because like CNBC can't do that.
Right. We go from Ralphie to financial advice. We're very diverse here.
Yep. The topic.
So, weekend recap, Jeff. What did you do?
Well, we spent a lot of time during Saturday at Krusty's. That was really the crux of my weekend.
Yep. You and I actually spent some time there together.
We were there quite a bit. We were actually networking for the show.
Right. You were passing out. You had a whole stack of your business cards.
I brought about 100 business cards. I think I went through 4.
Yeah. So a lot of those people, I think, are listening right now.
But there's a lot of pressure on those people we did find.
Yeah.
Because we're really counting on them.
Jimmy's in the chat room at radioshowonline.com/chatroom. Perhaps he was one of the guys that you...
We might have made a good impression with him, but it was typical Krusty's. I mean, unbelievable amount of people. great atmosphere, kind of carnival-like in a lot of ways.
Good weather. I was worried about the rain.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's all these reports of storms. And it rained a little bit, but, I mean, it was pretty much fine. I mean, you just jumped into a – we hid under a tent.
Just find a tent.
For a little bit.
Yeah, don't spill beer on that guy's chair.
Exactly.
Now, towards
the end, though, so I did one of those things where, like, you know, I did the next day, you, like, check your phone and see, like, exactly what happened. And so I remember towards the end of the day, you and I got separated. So I texted you, headed to Happy Dog, let me know ASAP if you want a ride. You said nothing. And then my next text to you is all one word with two N's, Happy Dog Bound. With two N's.
Was that because of the Happy Dog with two P's and Happy Dog?
I don't know.
Theme going?
And that was
it. And I still did not acknowledge it.
Where did you go?
We came back to the treehouse, but it was getting a little ugly towards the end of that. Yeah. I mean, 8 hours outside, 90-degree weather, very humid.
Yep.
How many draft beers, Jeremy, would you say?
I lost track.
Yeah,
I don't really remember.
We say a number of draft beers.
It was definitely a number.
It's just one of those combinations where you just pile into a cab. We went back to Tremont. Ended up back at the treehouse, which is not surprising to you.
Are you holding on to your Foursquare mayorship?
Holding on to that. Had to check in, say hello to everyone, and make the rounds. But, yeah, I just wanted to get close to home. I thought about Happy Dog, but it was all about getting close to home base.
Yeah. Does Treehouse offer any deals for the mayor or for checking in any Foursquare things?
No, they don't. I'd keep going there and keep doing it, though.
Okay.
They kind of got me hooked. I will say this, though. Talking about text the next day, this story came up recently. So you mentioned, like, after you're drinking for a day, the next morning, you check your phone. Maybe you miss some things.
Right.
So I don't get sick very often from drinking. that's true. I really don't have a social.
Any story that begins with. Now, I don't get sick very often.
I'm a social drinker. I really am. I pride myself on that. Now, occasionally, maybe 4 or 5 times a year, it goes more than that.
Social drinker / functional alcoholic.
Exactly.
Right on the board.
Exactly. So I go to a semi-manager, go to work. It all works out. But, I did send this message, and I got home late one night, drank too much. I was ill. I was ill from either the alcohol or the food. I blame it on a food poisoning issue maybe.
Yeah.
But I was ill.
Must have been the food.
I got ill and I texted some people that night, which I remember the next day, that I was out with. Mm-hmm. I said, I just got sick. Chalk one up to the bad guys. I don't know what that means. Isn't that a great text?
Who are the bad guys?
They weren't the bad guys.
Yeah.
I was almost trying to warn them.
Right.
Chalk went up for the bad guys. So, like, bad guys were out kind of trying to get me.
Like the guy's forcing you to drink.
Yeah, I don't know what that even means. But the next day, I was like, chalk went up to the bad guys.
Huh.
So that was, that's why I don't drink heavily very often.
Yeah. Because of the bad guys.
The bad guys, apparently.
The bad guys.
And they won that one night.
Yeah.
Chalk went up for it.
Huh.
So, yeah. But that did not happen this Saturday. Well, I think it was such a long day. The drinking was so spread out. But it was just more of you got home, you're exhausted more than you're drunk. You're just tired.
Yeah.
I came home about 11:30, was just cashed out.
Yeah. Went to Happy Dog. Stuck to water at Happy Dog and crashed on the couch.
Yeah.
And didn't.
What about the Krusty's film?
The Krusty's film?
I had a Krusty's film.
Yeah, because I just didn't shower.
I didn't either.
That.
I regretted that when I woke up. When you wake up, you feel like you're in a dumpster.
Yeah.
It's a Krusty's dumpster.
Right.
Is what I felt like.
You smell like
my bed was a Krusty. My bed was Whiskey Island.
Right.
In my bed. So I literally, yesterday, it's not very exciting on the recap, but I washed everything I was around from Krusty's.
Yeah. And Jen, my poor wife, loves Krusty's, but unfortunately, like, got sick this time around, couldn't go. But I still used her to chauffeur me there.
Yes.
And pick me up.
So she really saw the highlight.
And she was thrilled. Yeah, you drunk guy crawling into bed at the end of the night. She was very, very excited about that.
Yeah, that's a great
God day. Bless her. I went to Kane Park on Friday and saw Hey Mavis. Kane Park does these $5 concert series, $5 Fridays throughout the summer. And awesome venue to go see a concert. Have you been to Kane Park?
I have. I've seen a couple concerts there.
Just the outdoor atmosphere. You know, of course, Cleveland in the summer, awesome. The weather was great. Went to go see Hey Mavis with another some friends of ours. They're a folksy band from down in the Cuyahoga Valley. They were great. Afterwards, went to what I found out was one of your old stomping grounds.
Yes.
Said Brennan's Colony.
Colony. That was a big John Carroll bar. V Road.
Awesome patio. I had heard good things about
yes.
the patio. Went back there. Although, we go back there, and they seat us at a table, and this, you know, guy says, oh, we get some drinks. And this other waitress, she comes by, and she says, hey, is anyone helping? You're like, yeah, you know, we're probably just going to have a couple beers. Is that okay? She's like, well, maybe you could get an appetizer, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
That's really? A little ridiculous. You're at a bar, you're ordering beers.
Like, we were just kind of being, you know, it's kind of those things where you're trying to be polite, yeah. and they're just supposed to say, no, that's fine.
Right. Because you're a patron in their establishment, you are buying something.
I mean,
it's not like you're saying they're ordering waters. I could see your point.
Exactly. And it wasn't like it was packed. There was other open spaces. So
that's pretty strange.
I did get some chicken wings, and they weren't that good.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, haha, Brennan's Colony. Now feel the wrath of our listeners.
Yeah, payback is a bitch, Colony. They had no idea what they were messing with that night.
Also went to the Warehouse District Street Festival, the 7th annual one, on Sunday. It was kind of like a retox from Krusty's.
Yeah.
Have you gone? Did you go this year?
No, I didn't know because I would depend on our show for these events, and we never talked about this, so I didn't know what was going on.
Right. Somehow we missed this. Yeah. One. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting crowd. Like, I feel the food there used to be a little bit more upscale. Like, places like Blue Point would have, like, Blue Point wasn't represented.
Yeah.
And I mean, Johnny's was there. So I went to Johnny's, and they, you know, all the restaurants or a lot of the restaurants will have these booths. And then there's booths for, you know, they have artists and doing crafts and that type of stuff. And there's bands at either end of West 6th Street, and they closed down. You know, it's a good foundation to start from. But so went to Johnny's and got some cavatelles, and they have like awesome sauce, the spaghetti sauce, and everything was good. And then they had like this shrimp skewer. So I'm like, oh, the shrimp skewer, and they didn't have the shrimp skewers like pre-made, like they were ready, but they were raw, so they had to throw them on the grill.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know this, and it takes a bit to cook raw shrimp on the grill, especially when you have like just coals and stuff. You know, it's not like a quick thing. So I'm waiting there, and they give it to me, and the shrimp was just not cooked. I mean, it was raw, and so I said, yeah, I don't think this is done yet. You know, could you put back for, you know, a little bit till the shrimp is cooked.
Does the center literally taste like?
I mean, you can tell because shrimp has like that grayish rubbery.
Yeah.
And then when it's cooked, it turns like a little more white and flaky.
Yeah.
Still that like gray rubbery stuff. And so I like, you know, gave it back to him. And then a couple minutes later, they give it back to me. And it's like still like, and I felt bad because I don't want to be like that guy. But I'm like, I'm sorry. This, it's still raw.
You're just not cooking the shrimp, sir.
Yeah. Can I just have my money back? So I got my money back from that. And then we went down to Barley House. And so Barley House, I still quite don't know what demographic they're
going. I don't think they know what they are.
We go in the front, and then you can kind of go off to, they have that side patio, which patios are very, you know, in high demand, like in downtown. Like if you have a patio, that's a great thing. So they have this kind of, they have decent patio on the side.
Yeah.
But like there's literally velvet ropes on the side, like it's kind of set up like a deck, and there's velvet ropes like chained, and there's like one guy who like looks like he's from Snoop Dogg's Entourage, but then there's a right next to him, there's like four kids, like a mom and dad and like four kids all under the age of 14, because it's, you know, the warehouse, so I'm like, and the music they're playing on the side patio is different, it's like hip hop, and then you go inside and there's a guy playing like guitar, and then you're out front. And you hear, like, the bands, and I was just like, what? I was so confused.
Yeah, that's Barley House. So when I go there, I know it's a dance club at night. They usually clear everyone out around 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And they go from restaurant bar, which is more my speed.
And they'll steal your stools.
Dance club. Yeah, they literally have to get
chairs from you.
And the place is transformed. That's my experience at Barley House.
But you go during the week for, like, lunch? Like, lunch during the week is
civilized place?
Yeah. And they have great, great lunch specials, great Sam. It's just
they're trying to have all the demographics all at once, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know.
They want to be everything to everyone.
We sat on the patio and saw you know, it was interesting people watching.
Oh, I bet.
I will say that. Weber was there. I tried to grab some of the Higbee's malted milk custard, which is a Weber's like classic, but they were out of that. So I don't know. It was an day. I'm concerned about the festivals. Like we had talked, like, are there too many festivals? Like Taste of Cleveland.
They're getting a little trashy. They're getting rid of. Crowded, just a little, not what they used to be.
I feel like Taste of Tremont is the food festival to be at. Yeah. Like that's such a high caliber that really good restaurants are there, and I wonder if it's taken away from
other places.
But you know someone who really has his fingers on the pulse of the food scene in Cleveland?
Ian Petrella.
How did you like?
That was our guest last week.
How'd you like that segue? It was
beauty.
Yeah. We have Michael De La Hoya here. Am I pronouncing your name right? Day?
Depends on what side of town you're on.
Okay.
So if it's east side, it's De La Hoya.
Okay.
Right? Strong Italian influence. And the west side, De La Hoya. I answer to both.
I'm downtown, so what do I do?
You're split. You're on the west side. It's actually De La Hoya. It's a good Italian name.
Okay. Okay, great. I'm just going to call you Michael.
That's fine.
That's okay. he is with Emerging Chefs, which you can find on emergingchefs.com and also follow them on Twitter at twitter.com/emergingchefs. So, Michael, what is, for those that don't know, what is, tell us a little bit about what Emerging Chefs is.
Well, we create special events wrapped around chefs. Chefs have become the new rock stars in Cleveland, Ohio, and really nationally. It's a really fascinating national trend to see what's happening in the culinary world. I actually got into CIA Culinary Institute and Walt Disney's Culinary Institute. I also happened to get into Case, and I did the proverbial layup. I went to grad school at Case, and had I known these guys would have been treated like rock stars, I would have made a completely different choice of profession. And Emerging Chefs sort of germinated when I worked at the City of Cleveland for both Mayor Campbell and Mayor Jackson. And when I left, the City Club had asked me to do this, like a show for young adults called Emerging Cleveland.
Hmm.
And every month we changed the topic. So it had been emerging architects, emerging professional politicians.
And like a TV show or a radio?
It was on show. It was on TV. Okay. You're absolutely correct. So they filmed it and it was taped and put on TV. Our last segment that we ever did, which was the most popular, was called Emerging Chefs. Hmm. And we had six chefs from around the area doing their own little thing around these tables. Then we had the chef at the City Club cook a special dish that wasn't just the white sauce and chicken. And my current business partner, Rick Turner, was in the audience. I was like, Rick, I think we're onto something here. We should really turn this into a business. And I'm happy to say the business was born at Southside here in Tremont.
Okay.
Between Rick and I, we spent 4 or 5 hours just kind of designing the plan. 2 days later, got David Moss involved from Moss Media, who was the former executive director of Future Center at the Cleveland Institute of Art. And 30 days later, we did our first event on East 6th Street.
Okay.
And the whole idea is to get that chef out of the kitchen, who you may or may not see when you hit a restaurant, put them in a very unique venue. So architecture is a very key component to what we try to do. Then we add in some music and some great food, and boom, we've got an event.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So what are some of the events and locations you've done and chefs that you've had so far?
Sure. Well, our first chef was Chris Hodgson.
Okay.
Dim and Dem Sum, and we did this guerrilla tactic on East 6th where we literally closed down East 6th during rush hour. It was called Dinner and Dem Sum. So it was a great start for our event, but it taught us a lot of things. Probably shouldn't do outside events in October.
Not in Cleveland.
Not in Cleveland. We had 42 ticket buyers for us at the time, which we thought that was a huge number.
Hmm.
Turns out it's not. It was like a kind of a beginning point for us. And, we kind of learned the management of these events. The next event after that was Prohibition Party with Chef Nowak down at Barcento. And Michael, to his credit, really got involved with how this whole thing was supposed to be and look and feel. He went back to cookbooks from the 1920s and 30s during the Depression and Prohibition, and came up with cocktails and dishes that came from those particular cookbooks.
Hmm.
It was as authentic as you could get to be of food 70 years ago, which was really kind of mind-blowing. We did it in their speakeasy, which is below Barcento and Beer Market. And so it had that look and feel of an old-time speakeasy. It just resonated. And there's this real quick story, side story. There's a woman who showed up with her husband, and he pulled me aside. He's like, my wife had her hair done today just for this event and these special curls that they did in the 30s.
Hmm.
You could just say something to her, it'd just make her day. I'm like, I'll do something better than that. We'll get the chef to come out and say, Mary, you look just fantastic. Did you get your hair done today? And she was just so overjoyed and thrilled about the whole, feeling it. But that's the kind of imprint we want to make on people. If you show up, all the attendees have stories that will resonate, not just the chefs, but the people who attend, and that's what we try to capture at that event. Some of the other bigger events we've had, Sushi at Sunset, which was supposed to be on top of a building here in Cleveland. We really like to do these very unique events and venues. It rained for 2 Thursdays in a row, and we just decided, the hell with it, we're going to bring it inside. And we did it at the Asian Town Center. That was with Danny Cassano from Sushi Rock.
Okay.
And he did a surf and turf for everybody. 135 people right in the middle of this old warehouse in Asia, you know, in the Asian town center. It's just beautiful. Ellis Cooley, before he left, did an event for us, Dinner by Design, which was in an old abandoned elevator factory in Midtown. So, again, I'm trying to highlight that the architecture is really a key component because we're trying to bring people into venues that they've probably walked by or driven by 100 times, 1,000 times in Cleveland, but never have gone inside to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
For example, we did Sacrilicious with Chef Jeff Fisher of Touch at an old Romanian Orthodox church on Detroit near 65th.
Huh.
It's part of the Cleveland Public Theater campus. And the gentleman who owns, you talked about Blue Point earlier, the gentleman who owns that, George Snyder, was there and he was like, you know, my mother got married in this church.
Wow.
So we filmed all of our events and we took the film crew over. We made sure that they interviewed him and he talked about this great experience of coming back to his it's like native soil in a lot of respects.
Yeah, yeah. So the people that are coming to this event, they really get a chance to interact with the chef in a way that they're not going to be able to if they just go into Dante down the street.
Absolutely. We ask people to get up from the chair, their tables and chairs, head into the kitchen. The kitchens are generally out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, at Dinner by Design with Chef Ellis Cooley, you had to walk literally like 100 feet through this locker room. And we set him up at the end of this locker room, and he turned this corner, and there was this just gorgeous white room that we kind of built out. And so you had to walk through the kitchen. And as part of that was some of the sous chefs and Cooley would talk to you as you came through. It was not configuration two. So if you had to go to the restroom, you literally had to walk through the kitchen and around another corner. So there was a lot of interaction, people coming to and fro.
Yeah.
At Sacrilicious, where the altar was the kitchen. So you literally, at one point, you had to walk up and take communion. We brought everyone up for communion where you got some wine and a very unique chicken pate wafer. So we're always trying to interact as much as we can with the kitchen. That was the whole point. And in fact, we do have like we bring in the bloggers and the media for free at every event. And we actually push them to take photos, do interviews. There's a whole interview segment after the event for anyone who wants to do it, but primarily for the media.
Now, how do you go about putting all of this together? Like, I was looking at some of the videos on emergingchefs.com, and it looks like you have some pretty impressive lighting in places. Mm-hmm. You got a music piece to it. You got the architecture. You got the chefs. It seems like there's a lot of moving parts. Are you just a super organized guy, or how do you go about pulling it, finding the chefs, deciding where to have it, and pulling everything together?
The chefs are becoming the easier component because they see what we've done for other chefs, and now it's become a competition. So they're all in. They want to do these types of events. It is organized chaos. It's not as – I don't know how we pull these damn things off every month because it's very – I never thought I'd go to MBA school to become an event planner, but I can tell you I really empathize with event planners because a lot of things can go wrong.
Yeah.
And it has happened to us where – for example, with the theatrical Chef Adam Bostwick. It's this big event. He's with Melange out in Beechwood. He created the whole concept of, I'm going to create meals around movie clips. So we went out and we did all the movie clips for him. We found a theater. He wanted a theater. We found a theater. We got a big screen so we can show these movie clips. His father that morning passed away, the morning of the show. And I'm on my way to Detroit. So at 7:13, it's the best day of my life. At 7:14, I get the call. And what are you going to say? I mean, you got to take care of family. And Adam was very broken up and was like, hey, if there's anything we can do, we'll do it. At 7:15, I had to call my partners and like, we're in a bit of a quandary because, you know, the show can only happen today. There's money involved that we can never get back. And we got to do something. Not even 20 minutes later, the first chef called. It was a ring of chefs, six of them.
Hmm.
We actually had more, but the first six we took and they went up and they picked up the food for Chef Bostwick. They found his menu. They cooked everything up. And we did a show. And it was a great sense of community, which I don't think in Cleveland you can underestimate how tight these chefs are. There's always competition. Who wants to be the next chef of the big restaurant, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're going to help each other out. And that's what came through that. But getting back to the question, it is organized chaos. It's the most insane thing I've ever done in my life.
Huh.
We've got great staff. We just hired two young women to kind of help the three of us out. with the events. We do have checklists. I mean, it's organized chaos. We have checklists. We know what we need to do. But people get sick. Things happen. Stuff doesn't show up. We try to do it the best we can. Mm-hmm. But we always want to do great, productive shows. It's like Broadway theater. Mm-hmm. When people walk in, it should be a memorable experience if you're paying the price that you are for the ticket and you're going to a venue that you'll probably never see again. It should be something really dynamic and theatrical. And that's what we've tried to produce.
Mm-hmm. What are the price ranges, Michael, approximately? I know every venue is probably a little different.
The venues are different. And we've actually raised our prices a couple times. And we've actually gotten more people to buy. So I don't know if that's psychology or what have you. Yeah. But it depends on the event. But for this event coming up, Rehival, the general ticket, I believe, was $65. Okay. And the chef's table was $75. So it's a separate table altogether, a special attention given to it. The chef shows up there. There's an extra dish. There's a champagne pour that you wouldn't get at the general admission ticket. So we like the stratification of the ticket, too. So people who want to just show up can show up and buy a really inexpensive ticket. And those who want a little something extra get something extra, too.
And you mentioned some of the bloggers, you invite media. How have you used social networking, and how do you promote your events, both paid and non-paid?
Well, we didn't have a website until our fourth event. It was all done through social media. We started off with a Twitter feed and a Facebook fan page. And our ticketing system's pretty rich with the social media contact. So we use Eventbrite for our ticketing. So as soon as we create an event, it creates a Facebook event, too, that we can push out, which is a nice duplication. It also talks with MailChimp, which is our email system, so we can just take an event and plop it right into there as well. Social media really made us. I mean, I think we're probably better known for that channel than we are for our website. I love our website. But we've got so much traffic from Twitter and Facebook, it's kind of insane. The marketing has been very unique. We like to think of ourselves as an agency for the chef for that month. So when a chef signs with us to do an event, we do PR campaigns. We do social media campaigns. We now have a deal with KYC. They get an automatic good company segment every month. We're launching our own radio show, which is next week, August 14th, Emerging Chefs Radio on WHK 1420. So they'll be a part of that too. You got to throw in all
the right.
And so they'll get that as well. And so there's a whole list of things that we do for the chef underneath that campaign. Now the blogging side of it is very interesting because I've been a blogger for years, and to us the bloggers are the new media, and they need to be treated like press in our minds. So we've got a list of 90 people now on our media list, about a half of which are foodie bloggers, or people who love food, who have influence and who can bring, you know, traffic to the site or traffic to the event. Every one of those bloggers gets a free ticket if they want to join. So we have an X amount of VIP tickets that we can give out. They're welcome. They have free access to everything. The chefs know that these bloggers are going to show up. They get a little lanyard that details that they're part of the press. And they have free access to do whatever they want. The goal is that they have to write a review. That's the agreement. Not a written agreement, but an understood agreement that you should write about the show or tweet about it, good or bad. If you had a bad experience, we certainly want to know about it because we want to fix it, right? And we had some bad experiences at a few events that now we know. I mean, none of us were in the event business when we started the company, so it's good to know these types of things. We also created an affiliate marketing program so that people really enjoy that experience of Emerging Chefs and they feel comfortable enough selling tickets for us. We give them a percent of those ticket sales that they can drive through our site. And Eventbrite's a very sophisticated system, so we can track who, what, when, why, and where, how much. We just cut checks at the end of the end of that.
It's interesting that you mentioned the blogger channel, because I think that when I first heard about Emerging Chefs, it was through the Cleveland Foodie blog, mm-hmm. which I, you know, read a lot. So I mean, I read, you know, The Plain Dealer as well, but I think that some of these things like Cleveland Foodie, I'm reading more often. And if she posts something, I see that before I see something from The Plain Dealer. So I think it is a shift with traditional media and vloggers now.
Yeah, I think traditional media is a little behind the curve in everything, not just the culinary industry. And by the way, I think Cleveland itself got caught flat-footed with the culinary industry here in town. I don't think the television networks or the magazines or the newspapers understood the dynamic that was happening until it popped nationally. And then it became self-aware that, all right, we've got something here. Now, you know, for example, the Plain Dealer, we've talked to Joe Cray many, many times. Love Joe. He's got a dry sense of humor, good wit. I think he wants to write more, but I think he's limited by the fact of what the PD wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've decided to expand their food section to, which was a couple pages, into a whole section now,
mm-hmm.
which I think is gravitating to, all right, we've got a paradigm shift here in Cleveland in the culinary world, and we have to report on this.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that, and we certainly would like to have more content mm-hmm. from Joe on mm-hmm. us and on our chefs. But it's clearly the foodie bloggers and the foodie movement in Cleveland that's pushing this industry. And by the way, we're one of a number of what you would consider pop-up restaurant, you know, event groups in town. You got Bricks and Mortar, which is fairly new. But it's in the same place, different chefs, same place every month. And then you've got Dinner in the Dark, which we love. We're big fans of both of them. And they go to different restaurants with different chefs. We don't want to go into the restaurant. We don't want to do the same place. We want to kind of churn it and make it a little bit different for everybody.
Yeah. Now, why do you think that we're seeing things, like you mentioned, these different groups, and we're seeing things like you mentioned Chris of Dim and Dem Sum, that he's going to be on the Great Food Truck Race, you know, and of course we got Michael Simon. And
right.
It seems like food's becoming a bigger deal in Cleveland. Is that, I mean, maybe you have a better national perspective than I do. Is that something that we're seeing across the country? Is it something that started on the coasts and Cleveland's finally catching up? You know, where do we stand nationally with our trends compared to the rest of the country?
I think a big part of the reason, or I would call it demographic, is the boomerang movement that people are coming back to Cleveland. You know, when I was at the city of Cleveland, I couldn't get a 30-year-old to move back into the city for the life of me. But I've noticed this interesting trend the last couple of years. A lot more people riding bikes, a lot more people writing blogs, and a lot more underground events happening in Cleveland than I've ever seen in my life. And I'm pretty tapped into events. I'm out every night and doing two or three things every night. So I think that alone has kind of brought back this excitement about events. But the chefs, too, they moved away. They went and studied under someone else, and they've come back because it's a lot cheaper to open a place in Cleveland. And here's the winning component of this whole sauce, if you will, is that there's an investor base here in Cleveland that's willing to take the risk on these types of concepts because they can close a place pretty quickly if it's not working and revamp completely different variety and open up that venue again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think and that's unusual. You see that in New York and Chicago, maybe Miami. I mean, there's a few places where you can get that type of investor base. But for a Midwest city like Cleveland to have that sophisticated investor, I think is key. And you see it in the food truck movement. Last year you had one food truck. Now how many? You got 7 or 8 in the city of Cleveland, and next year there'll be 14 or 15.
Yeah.
I don't know how that market's going to shake out. I don't think we can support 14 or 15, but I think 6, 7 is probably a good number for this city
mm-hmm.
or this region. You probably want to dip down into Akron a few times a month and maybe even to Youngstown once a month. I mean, you've got some other markets that you can tap into. I also think that the boomerangs had a lot more sophisticated palate than the traditional Cleveland base. So they want to go out.
Yeah.
And they're pushing for new and exciting types of dishes.
Yeah.
But how blessed is Cleveland? You got great French food. You've got great Italian food. You got great sushi. It's just insane.
Yeah.
Just how many varieties you have. And every night's a different place.
So when is the next Emerging Chefs event, and how can people go if they want to go?
Well, everyone's welcome. It's like Woodstock, this next event.
It's like Krusty's.
Let's hope it's not like Krusty's.
We are doing it in a barn out in Chardon. The event's called Rehival, and it's with Chef Kimberly McCune of Vine and Dine. She's actually launching her brand new ale. She's got a beer that she's launching called Rehive Ale. And so you can go to emergingchefs.com, click on the big Rehival button, and you can buy tickets, and there are certainly some available. And it's going to be a great night. We're giving all, there's a big T-shirt giveaway. We're doing these really interesting new T-shirts, obviously the beer. And we're doing a really interesting slanted take on family-style dinners. Great thing about Emerging Chefs is you don't know who you're going to sit with. I mean, outside of the chef's table, which is more reserved, wherever there's an open space, that's where you sit. So you're sitting with people you may or may not know. And it's interesting to see the dynamics of those tables and the conversation about food. Food always brings people together, right? You know,
yeah.
You can complain about it or you can love it, but it's always something. And you still eat it, even if it's bad. You know, you go back in for a second bite. So we've got all these interesting conversations bubbling about, and it's a very interesting thing for these. So we're doing these big, like almost picnic tables, and you'll have set in front of you the dish, and people get to pass around, and it'll be pretty slick.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, man. To talk about emerging chefs. And now, there was a story in Cleveland.com, speaking of restaurants in Cleveland, that Samuel L. Jackson was actually he was in town filming for the Avengers, was actually spotted at Blue Point. Cleveland.com, I guess, started this. They started a page. If you go to Cleveland.com/Avengers, you can actually get up-to-date information on all the different sightings. And there's a hashtag. If you're on Twitter, you can use the hashtag AvengersCLE. And let me just see now. It looks like some people are posting pictures. Like there's destruction sets going up on East 9th Street. Gaming Boy actually posted, "The Avengers are filming in Cleveland, presumably for the epic Loki sets the river on fire scene." Will that ever die? Will that joke ever go away?
It's with us forever.
But that's kind of cool. So you can see like the different where people are spotting around town. I guess Thor is in town. Someone posted that. Michael, what do you think? If someone's coming from out of town, someone on the cast, what restaurants should they are must-sees? While they're in town.
Yeah, I always try to pick the neighborhood joints with some of the more standard places in town. I love this restaurant, and it hasn't got a lot of traction. I love Zinc,
mm-hmm.
especially that patio outside. Mm-hmm. And it's got a great menu. I know they just recently changed the chef. I would still pick Zinc as a place to go. And for the neighborhoods, you talked about it earlier. I dig the Happy Dog. It's one of the best places on the planet. You know, hot dogs and tater tots. That's all you need in life.
Yeah.
Maybe a cold one on the side of SoCo. But I mean, outside of that, I also like Jamie Buggers over in Lakewood. It's quickly become my favorite.
I have never heard. What is this place?
Jamie Buggers on Detroit.
I've never heard of this.
It was Detroit, the old
Warren around there?
Past Warren. So it's past the downtown area.
Okay.
It's where Nico's used to be.
Okay, I remember
Route
Nico's.
66.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the apothecary was there for a little while. This place is going to stick. It's heavily tilted towards, you know, English pub food with American flair. And the grilled pork chop sandwich is one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life. It's not what you would expect.
Hmm.
Kind of expect a dry pork chop. It's a fantastic, unbelievable place.
Huh.
Good beer, unbelievable menu. Service is a little iffy, as in most places in Cleveland, unfortunately. But I would pick that place too.
Jamie Buggers.
Yeah, check it out.
Huh, never heard of it. Also in food news, Doug Katz from Fire and Shaker Square, it was recently announced that he is going to be overseeing the new Cleveland Museum of Art restaurant. So as if he didn't have enough to do with Fire. Fire and Shaker Square is another restaurant that's awesome.
Right? Yep.
Great
brunch too. Sundays,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Unbelievable. Yep.
That's like Cropicana taking over the Whiskey Island Grill. It was a huge thing. I've really enjoyed going on there now. The before and after of that was unbelievable. And they've done a great job down at Whiskey Island.
Yeah. Have you gone to Whiskey Island since Steve took over for Cropicana there?
I have, and the fish tacos were outstanding. And,
yeah.
And it's a good selection of beer. It's an interesting mix of people down there, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
go down there just for people watching. It's just fantastic, so. And good beers. You always got to have a good beer with fish tacos, I'm convinced.
We talk about a lot of the taco nights around Cleveland, how it's such a big thing now. A lot of the Taco Tuesdays, but just all different venues now for tacos during the week and all the deals. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a taco deal.
Deegan's is one of my favorite places for Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you've been there, but just insane.
We did a show from there, yeah.
Did you really?
Yep.
Yeah, we did a live show from there. Yeah. I've been to Deegan's, you know, for the show and for a couple of other times, but I haven't gotten there yet for the Taco Tuesdays, and I hear that's the place to go. You mentioned that you used to work with Mayor Jackson, and there was a news recently that he had there was a controversial flash mob / social media ordinance that had recently passed through city council.
Right.
I don't know if you had heard about this. So there had been some issues lately there was some violence that had happened over on Coventry, where crazy youths suddenly descended upon the street, and oh no, they had used social media to help organize this. And so, of course, government in its infinite wisdom said, well, there's got to be a law that penalizes people. And the newly christened crime was termed improper use of social media. And the fine print was that law enforcement can now add additional minor misdemeanor charges to anyone who's been arrested for disorderly conduct, failure to disperse, or unlawful congregation if it's determined they were organized through the internet. Provision was introduced by Councilman Zach Reed. Council approved it. Mayor Jackson made what I believe wise decision of vetoing this, and the ACLU agrees with me. Because, you know, it could come down to a free speech thing if you say, sorry, you can't use the internet to help create,
there's a little gray there, too.
Yeah.
A little gray.
Yeah. Yeah. But, now you started originally as the tech czar underneath, Jane Campbell, correct?
That's correct.
And then you stayed through even after she had left for a little bit?
Okay. That was one of a handful of appointees that stayed. And, you know, there's an interesting dichotomy between the two. I mean, obviously she gave me my chance and I did a lot of groundwork of getting the tech industries up and running in Cleveland through her. Working for her is like working for the Tasmanian devil. I mean, I love her for the rest of my life, but it was a very chaotic city hall. I don't think she ever got her foot in. Because when she walked in, I mean, the Mike White administration, there's all this money missing. And,
yeah.
You know, FBI investigations. And her first business card had her AOL address because there's no email systems at City Hall. This is in 2001.
Oh.
So you can kind of see how archaic it was. And she, you know, they did catch up a lot, but he kind of walked into a perfect situation of a disorganized mayor. He walked in. He's a very orderly cat, more so than she was. I had a lot of friction with some of the people around him.
Yeah.
He was always nice and generous to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the cabinet like I was with Campbell, so I kind of got a little demoted, but which is fine. Every mayor has their own. But I wish there was more of a vocal nature out of the mayor's office, a little bit more leadership, because I think he bought into this regionalism thing, and then he forgot that, well, we're the largest city in the region, so we have to be out there parading and talking about what we want as opposed to what the suburbs want, because the suburbs are just kind of, you know, bleeding the city dry. There shouldn't be, by the way, 59 municipalities.
Right, right.
In this county, it's so much duplication of effort, and all these crazy expenses. But, as it were, those are the things that we kind of fought at City Hall. The city seems a bit more calm underneath his leadership than I would say underneath hers. But I really find it challenging of all the companies that we're losing. And there doesn't seem to be much of a fight. Eaton's leaving, Farrow's leaving, for a city so dependent on employment tax, I don't see where the anger is or motivation to keep these.
Yep, yep. Well, that we could have gone off on a whole other tangent there. You know, food and politics. Two things. Yeah. You don't normally get one show that's covering
both.
Now,
let's go get some religion in maybe real
quick. Yeah. Well, Jeff, we're out of time. I'm sorry.
Well, before we go, we got to get a quick rundown of this weekend's events.
Okay.
What's going on? There are a lot of, we mentioned August is the month of fairs. The Cuyahoga County Fair is going on. That's going to start this week through next. I know also this weekend is Little Italy, the Feast of the Assumption, starts Friday. That goes through Monday. And then the Cleveland Browns host the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers Saturday night. How's that for a kickoff?
That's a great kickoff.
So a lot going on this weekend.
Well, that wraps it up for us. We want to thank Michael from Emerging Chefs. Go to emergingchefs.com to find information about all their upcoming events. Jeff and I are going to take next Monday off because Jeff's got to go work somewhere again.
Pay the bills for the air conditioning.
But on we're going to do a show live at the Treehouse the following Monday. That's the August 22nd, live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern in honor of our one-year anniversary.
There will be drink specials, I've been promised.
Okay.
As well as antics.
That's the kind of thing that you can do when you're mayor.
That's right.
Of the Treehouse.
I demanded it.
You can check out all our past and future episodes of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy at radioshowonline.com. So until then, this is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
Have a week.